Philippians chapter 4, verses 4 through 9, let's read. Rejoice in the Lord always. I will say it again, rejoice. Let your gentleness be evident to all. The Lord is near. Do not be anxious about anything, but in every situation, by prayer and petition, with thanksgiving, present your request to God. And the peace of God, which transcends all understanding, will guard your hearts and your minds in Christ Jesus. Finally, brothers and sisters, whatever is true, whatever is noble, whatever is right, whatever is pure, whatever is lovely, whatever is admirable, if anything is excellent or praiseworthy, think about such things. Whatever you have learned or received or heard from me or seen in me, put it into practice, and the God of peace will be with you. Last week we saw that effective conflict resolution requires having the same mind as Christ. That is, when we are thinking as Jesus would, we will be led by the Spirit as Jesus was, to deal humbly, sacrificially, and unselfishly with all people. Now, here in verses 4 through 9, Paul is prompting us to consider what right thinking, what a Christ-like mindset looks like. Keep in mind that not being anxious about anything, as the first part of this passage challenges us, requires thinking about the right things. And thinking about the right things, as the second part of the passage directs us, requires the peace of God guarding our hearts and minds to take captive every thought and lead us into fervent, joyful, expectant prayer. So these go together. So although we're reading verses 4 to 9 together this morning, to get the whole message in context, we're focusing this morning on verses 4 through 7. Next week, we'll focus on verses 8 and 9. Now, considering Paul's repeated calls throughout this epistle to rejoice in the Lord, verse 4 should not be a surprise. It is not a surprise. We are to rejoice in the Lord when? Always. We are to rejoice in the Lord always, and we are to be gentle. And we are not to be gentle just with babies and pets. We are to be gentle with everyone. Our gentleness should be evident to all people. And we're not to be anxious about anything. Do you see what Paul is doing? Do you see how he's setting this up? You know, what the Holy Spirit is directing him to write and therefore to counsel us? According to the Lord's expectations for our lives, it's not sufficient to be joyful sometimes. It is to rejoice always. It's not sufficient to be gentle to some people. It's to be gentle to all people. It's not sufficient to not be anxious about some things. It is to not be anxious about anything. What becomes abundantly clear is that our knowledge, methods, willpower, discipline, and endurance, as necessary as those things are, all of that would be insufficient to meet these humanly impossible standards. Who in the world could rejoice always? Who in the world could be gentle to everyone? There's going to be at least one moment where you're not gentle to somebody. Like, you read this and you think, this is impossible. And that's exactly the point. The Word of God is making it clear that this is impossible for us, which means we have to be altogether new creatures. The old man cannot do this. We have to be altogether free. Free from everything that would entangle and hold us and prevent us from doing these things. We have to be altogether wise, not according to the wisdom of this world, but according to the wisdom of the Lord. We have to be altogether discerning to know how we must respond and deal with all people. And we have to be altogether transformed. That's what the Bible is calling us to. You see, the message of salvation is not so that we would be a little better than we were before. The message of salvation is not so that we would pick up some good habits. The message of salvation is not so that we would hang out with some good people. The message of salvation is so that we will be completely changed. We can't achieve these things on our own. We can't achieve these things based on our past. We have to be completely transformed. How? Romans chapter 12 verses 1 and 2 tells us that we are not to conform to the pattern of this world, meaning we're not to conform to the spirit of this age, to the mindset, the worldviews, the approach, the priorities, the activities. We're not to conform to that. We're not to say, oh, well, this is what everybody else is doing, or this is what is convenient, or this is what my kids need, or this is how I need to participate. We're not to conform to the ways of this world, but instead we have to be transformed by the renewing of our minds, by having the mind of Christ, by understanding how Christ thinks and how he speaks and how he acts towards us, and then saying, as I am with Jesus, to learn and to see this, I will become like Jesus and I will do what Jesus did. I will be transformed. So one of the key attributes of having a Christ-like mind, even as we're reading here, one of the key attributes of having a Christ-like mind is having the Holy Spirit guard our hearts, our emotions, our passions, our desires, to safeguard, even, you could say, and to guard our minds, our thinking, our reasoning, our imagination, that these would also be safeguarded by the Holy Spirit. And the vitally important function of a guard is to capture and hold what opposes. So if there's an enemy, if there's some threat, if there's something else, the guard, the soldier, the person who is commissioned to do this is doing what? They're capturing the enemy, they're capturing what is opposing and holding on. Not just capturing and letting go, catch and release, no. It's capture and hold. And then what's going on here? The vitally important function of that guard to hold whatever is opposing, in other words, we must depend on the Holy Spirit to help us take captive every thought that opposes the truth. We have to be led by the Holy Spirit to take captive every thought that opposes the promises of the Word of God. We must depend on the Holy Spirit to help us take captive every ungodly thought that has the potential to harm us. That's what the Bible is saying when it says, take captive every thought, be transformed by the renewing of our mind. So how do we do that? Well, let's just look at this particular phrase. Don't be anxious about anything. Don't be anxious about anything. Well, what makes us anxious? I'm going to go through a list of 7 items. You could probably come up with 70, but 7 may be sufficient for this morning. There are so many things in the world around us that make us anxious, that make us agitated, that make us despair, that make us, you know, try to take control, that make us respond to somebody else with a great sort of rage in us. And we do that to the ones who are closest to us, because we're all agitated, we're anxious, and that starts to show up. Well, what are some of the ways in which we're anxious or why we get anxious? One, it may be an unpleasant past experience that reminds us of the current situation. We've gone through something in the past. It was unpleasant then. We are certainly not thinking it'll be pleasant now. So we confront our current situations. We're going through some particular context and we say, oh, this reminds me of when, whatever. that person did this, or that person said this, or this particular thing happened, or I trusted and then they betrayed my trust, or I did this and this happened to me, or I took this step and it was all for naught. And so there's an unpleasant past experience that is now clouding our present and affecting our future. So we become anxious. All the things of the past, oh, those memories, those things. And maybe it was an unpleasant past experience that was caused by our own sin, our own actions, our own words. And we say, oh, I know how I did this last time. I know how I responded. I know how I reacted. I don't think I can deal with this situation any better than what I did in the past. And so I get anxious. I'm like, I'm getting apprehensive. I'm getting uptight. I don't know how to deal with the current situation. Why? Because my past is affecting me. The second thing that makes us full of anxiety is that we may be unhealthy. We have something going on in spirit, in soul, in body that is making us agitated, anxious. We say, I don't know how I can handle this situation. I don't know what I'll do. I think I'm weak. I think I'm hurting. I think there's something going on that I don't know how to control, or I don't know how to get past. And so I am now anxious. I'm starting to worry about what will I do? How will I handle this? What will my family do? How will the situation be resolved? And that context or that impetus of that unhealthy condition is making me anxious. I may be anxious because of unemployment. And what I mean by that is that I'm unable to exercise or practice a vocation that brings me some income. I'm unable to earn a wage. Maybe I've lost a job because of something I did, but maybe because of the circumstances that are going on. And I'm becoming anxious, and I say, oh, what will I do? How will I meet my needs? How will I pay for these things? What will I do? I start to become anxious. And so unemployment starts to work, right, and have its hold on me. And the fears that maybe, I know of this person and they were out of work for 3 years. Oh, they suffered a lot. Oh, I don't want that to happen to me. I don't want my spouse to pass away and then I don't have any income. I don't have savings. I don't know what to do. And this idea of financial or material sort of provision and this anxiety caused by unemployment as such starts to wear on us. Fourth, there can be uncertainty. You just don't know what's going to happen. You're uncertain about so many different things. Your own family, your job, your work, your health, all these things that we've even mentioned. This uncertainty becomes an anxiety. It's not that you're really concerned about, you may have a good job, you may have a good relation, you may be healthy, but there's this uncertainty that's nagging, that's looming, that's just there. And you say, if only I knew what the next step was, then I'd be okay. I wouldn't be anxious. And so this uncertainty starts to wear on you. Now, as you're thinking of all of these things, and as these things maybe in some measure or, full measure are affecting you, now you start to get anxious about unpreparedness. And you say, I'm not ready. If my spouse passes away, or if my job is lost, or if this happens or that happens, I'm unprepared. I know what I should have done, I didn't do it, so I'm unprepared. Or I don't know what I should do, I'm unprepared. So unpreparedness starts to become that anxiety trigger. It's just, nothing has fallen apart, nothing has gone awry, but you just say, I don't know if I'm ready. I don't know what I'll do. I'm unprepared. And then there can be ungodly influences. There can be somebody saying something, somebody taking advantage, somebody trying to influence you in a way that you should not go. Or it may be your own flesh, your own thoughts, just tormenting you, affecting you. All these ungodly influences. Or it could be explicit demonic oppression coming at you. You wake up in the middle of the night, knowing that there is this affliction that, after you, and these ungodly influences are coming at you, and it makes you more and more anxious. You're even anxious to go to sleep at night. You're anxious to talk about this. You're anxious about what will happen. And these things are coming at you without any letting up. And then, number seven, there are these unrestrained, wild, extreme thoughts. It's not that any of that has materialized, but you let your thoughts run wild. They go to those extremes. And by the time they get to those extremes, they are bringing all sorts of possibilities to mind. What if, what if, what if, what if? Those are not legitimate thoughts, they're just extreme thoughts. And they are running wild, taking captive, reining in, bringing all these situations into the care and into the work of the Lord is not going to happen by our strength. But even as I go through this list, and you may be resonating with one or more of all of these items that I just described, do you realize that the Word of God, that the power of God, that the promises of God, those things that we have talked about even in the recent weeks, that which has been given to us already, that which the Lord says, I have given you everything that you need for life and godliness. Do you realize that the Word of God addresses every one of these anxiety triggers? You go and look at that list again, and you consider what the Word of God says, and it addresses, explicitly addresses, every one of these anxiety triggers. The Word of God that provides all that we need for life and godliness enables, equips, and empowers us to be cleansed and forgiven of our past, to be sound in spirit, soul, and body, to earn a wage, and to do our labor and work as unto the Lord. The Word of God equips us, empowers us, and is enabling us to be led in the way that we should go, so that we will hear the voice of the Holy Spirit with certainty saying to us, this is the step that you need to take next. That we will have with certainty the Word of God that is a lamp to our feet and a light to our path, showing us the path that we must walk on. The Word of God and the power of the Holy Spirit will allow us to receive knowledge, knowing what is happening, understanding why it's happening, and then wisdom to deal with it appropriately so that we are able to take firm steps so that our foot will not stumble. These are all the promises of the Word of God. The Word of God will enable us to flee from temptation, to resist the devil, to crucify the flesh, and to rein in every thought by taking it captive. Now, once again, I'm not going through the specific thing that's going through in your mind right now. I'm not listing that. I'm not speaking about that. But I am telling you, without any doubt, that the Bible addresses every one of our anxiety triggers. Everything that can cause us to be anxious, the Bible addresses it. Which is why it says, do not be anxious about anything. And therefore, because we're not anxious about anything, how and why do we do that? Because we can pray with thanksgiving about everything. If nothing makes us anxious, it's because everything is brought in prayer. It's not a small thing, a big thing, an urgent thing, a not so urgent thing, a possible thing, an impossible thing. Everything, everything just brought to the Lord in prayer. And so look at the phrase or the each of the phrases in this verse that speaks of how we come to the Lord in prayer. It says in every situation, good, bad, uncertain, alarming, joyful, in every situation and circumstance, we come to the Lord in prayer. So what does that do? It builds a habit. It builds a discipline. It causes us to run to Him every single time. Because if we're building that habit in prayer and saying, I'm going to pray about this, I'm going to pray without ceasing, I'm going to talk to my Father about this, then whatever happens, good, bad, indifferent, whatever, we will keep coming to the Lord in prayer. We will keep talking to Him. So in every situation, we build this practice of prayer. And then When we say prayer in every situation, by prayer, what is that? It's just our personal or communal dialogue with God. It's going to Him and saying, Abba, Father, this is what I'm thinking about. This is what I need. This is what is on my mind. This is what's on our mind. And it's listening to Him. It's a dialogue. Prayer is simply that communication. There's all sorts of ways in which we can do that prayer, and that we're encouraged to pray, and that we have models of prayer and examples of others who are praying. But ultimately, it's just you talking to God and listening to Him. Listening to Him saying, call, do this, go here, go there. Just praying about everything. So in every situation, by prayer and petition or supplication in some of the translations. What is a petition? You know this from your experiences of signing a petition. A petition is a specific request. It is a request for a specific cause or action. We're signing this petition for this road to be diverted around our development. We don't want this highway to come through our development. We sign a petition. We're asking for something very specific. There's a cause or an action, and we bring that to the Lord. So we're not just having a general dialogue with prayer, but we are coming to Him with petitions. Lord, we need this. And we need this by this date, Lord. We need a miracle, Lord. We need provision, Lord. We need an answer here, Lord. And we bring that petition to Him. And then it says, in every situation, by prayer and petition, with thanksgiving. With thanksgiving. This is not where we come to Him and say, well, I don't know if this is a good idea or not to tell you about this, but rather we thank Him for having already answered the prayer. Because otherwise, what are we thanking Him for when we come to Him with prayer and petition, right? We're thanking Him for the fact that He has already answered, that He will take care of this. We are casting our care and leaving it there. We are confident that the Lord will hear and do what is right. So we come with thanksgiving. In every situation, by prayer and petition, with thanksgiving, we present our requests. This is a very deliberate action. It's not accidental. It's not only when I'm in an urgent situation. Oh God, I don't know what to do, please help me. But rather, oh God, all the time, please help me. Because all the time I'm talking to You. Right? So all the time, we are presenting our requests. Deliberate action. Now for you personally, that may mean setting apart time. Making time. Maybe it's the beginning of the day. Maybe at the end of the day. Maybe through the middle of the day. Or throughout the day. Whatever. But making that time. Doing something very deliberate to present your requests to the Lord. Right? Or maybe coming together in times of worship or times of prayer in the church, in the communal context, prayer meetings, whatever it may be, fasting, whatever. But you're coming together very deliberately to present your request. And finally, in every situation, by prayer and petition, with thanksgiving, as you present your requests, you are presenting them to God, not to the authorities of the land. Not to those that you think have power. Not to anybody who you think may be able to help you. You are presenting your requests to God. To Almighty God. To the Master of the universe. To the One who is sovereign over all. To the One who is the King of kings. To the One who has all the power to do whatever is necessary. You're not going to a human being and hoping that they can help you. You are going to the Lord of Lords. You are going to God. If this is our reality, if we will start to think about and consider prayer in this way and say, oh Lord, praying with thanksgiving about everything means this, then we are ready to respond and apply the Word of God by thinking rightly. We're not anxious about anything. We come to the Lord in prayer. We cast our cares on Him. We bring our needs to Him. And we say, oh Lord God, this is happening. This is going on. This is alarming me. This is causing me to be anxious. But I come to You, Lord. I come to You. And when we start to do that, praise the Lord, that when He gives us that charge not to be anxious about anything, but in everything to come to Him in prayer, oh, the promise is that His peace, not the peace as the world will give. Jesus said, I'm not giving you peace as the world gives you peace. I'm giving you peace that will be transcending your expectations, understanding, imagination. That peace will guard our hearts and our minds in Christ Jesus. What could be better? What could be better than saying, the peace of God guards my heart and mind? This is a promise of the Lord. So this morning, like I said, we will go back, or we will go to the next couple of verses next week as we follow up on this theme of thinking rightly. But I want to encourage you this morning that we set our minds on Christ, that we set our minds on things above, that we understand what the Word is calling us to, and we say, Lord God, thank You for Your Word. Thank You for Your promise. Heavenly Father, we thank You, Lord, that when You ask us to be transformed, to become completely new creatures in Christ Jesus, to be born again, to die to the old self, and to be born again as new creatures in Christ, I thank You, Lord, that that then makes us or enables us to now do what You have asked us to do. Lord, to not be anxious about anything, but to come to You with prayer and thanksgiving for everything. Thank You, Lord, for that. Lord, so we pray that this morning You will confirm in us that life-giving, transforming work of the Holy Spirit. That, Lord, You will enable us to crucify the sinful nature with its passions and desires, to truly put to death all of the old self, and to truly be raised again to new life in You, Lord. Let that be our reality. We thank You, we praise You, we worship You, that as we pursue this, as we do this daily, taking up our cross daily and doing this, I thank You, Lord, that You will help us to think rightly. We ask for that in Jesus' name. Amen.